Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold the line. Been a little hard to be doing that lately, though.
What did Jordan Matthews say to us last Friday? Hold it all you want.
You hold it all you want.
Yeah, hold it all you want.
Yeah, he said, you know,
Yeah, he really.
He don't get it.
He buried
you. No, he gets it, and he buried you. I mean, he gets it as well as anybody.
Between the two of you, he gets it. You don't.
I get it. He doesn't get
it. Do you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's do a little hold the line update here. We haven't done this in a little bit. So A.J. Brown's still a Philadelphia Eagle, obviously. Had his camp over the weekend. Seemed like it was as comfortable as it could be, but also a little bit uncomfortable at the same time.
It seemed very awkward.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, I'll say this. Good on him that he scheduled a camp, right?
And he did.
It's local kids.
Being an adult, being a professional. Like,
yeah, good job.
And I think there was contractually obligated.
Yeah.
You know, there's that.
But that,
you know, he was there.
But I've heard of stories where a guy either is about to get moved or moved and he says, I can't go.
Yeah.
No, so that's a good job by him.
He could have gone through the motions there, too. Like, he still did the Eagles thing. He was with kids. Yeah. Like, I thought he handled that well.
That being said, he's obviously not going to be an Eagle for much longer. The countdown continues until the beginning of June here. Can we hear the latest? Adam Schefter on A.J. Brown and where this is all headed.
Well, I think he knows where his future is headed at this moment, and it'll be a matter of the Patriots and the Eagles getting together to basically process the trade, finalize the trade, make sure it happens. But again, there's nothing that has transpired here, despite all the events in New England, that has deterred this trade from coming off. I still think it is on track. I still think it's going to happen. I still think it will involve a future one, likely a 2028 first round draft pick. I still think all these elements are in place. And I still think that once we get to June, that these two sides will get together and complete a trade that'll send AJ Brown to the New England Patriots. Now, again, this morning I was watching ESPN SportsCenter early, and they had a piece where they were doing their features on I scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And I saw that they had A.J. Brown on this one. They were featuring his touchdown in the Super Bowl. He says, hi, I'm A.J. Brown, Philadelphia Eagles. And I thought to myself, they may have to edit that in about a month here, coming up here. That's what I think. But we'll see how it all plays out.
You know, when I heard that, you know, the only thing I can think of?
What's that?
Diana Rossini walked so that Adam Schefter could run.
I mean, come on.
Adam Schefter was an insider before Diana Rossini
anybody. I just thought that's what I was thinking.
Okay, so this is spin.
Yeah, well, it's not true.
She's been all over this.
It's not true.
He took the mantle from her.
Yep.
No.
And she, you know, but she set this whole thing into play. That's all I was thinking.
So you're blaming her for AJ?
No, I'm not blaming anybody. All I'm saying is that he ain't said nothing to me that made me sound like, you know, anything was,
really?
Etched in stone. No,
he said he's so confident that this is going to happen that the ESPN's going to have to edit the AJ Brown.
That sounded to me like reckless speculation.
No, it did not.
It sounded like reckless speculation.
It sounded like he knows
hold
what
the
this
line.
Is. No.
Love isn't always on time.
Yeah, is that where you're at?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Can we hear Cooper DeJean, AJ Brown's
teammate on the situation
and kind of how awkward it is right now? But they're making the best out of it. Here it is.
Yeah. I mean, we talk, you know, pretty often still. Obviously, he's a great teammate, great friend of mine. So nothing will change, you know, the way I think about AJ, but. You know, obviously it's a business, and you know everybody's got to do what's best for them. And you know, I know, you know, whatever happens, you know, he'll always be a close friend of mine. And we'll see what happens in the next few months.
And you're gonna miss going against him in practice. I mean, did you have some good battles?
Absolutely, I'm gonna miss him. Just seeing him in the building. You know, if he's gone. You know, but just seeing him out on the practice field and, you know, talking trash, those are some fun times. You know, and just learning from him too. He instilled confidence in me, and that's something I always appreciate.
No, see, and John Clark, if you're listening, That's your fault, dog. You led that man. He did. He led him. John Clark, I'm ashamed of
you. John Clark's a pro.
He's a Charlotte. Charlatan.
That's the Takeoff podcast with John Clark, by the way.
John Clark is a leading. He led him down a path of disarray. Wow. John Clark, I'm ashamed of you. You don't have to do that ambush reporting that you just did there, sir.
He agreed to do a podcast, ambush reporting.
John Clark, I'm ashamed of you in that ambush reporting that you did, sir. Because he answered the question, and then you asked him, are you going to miss him when he's gone?
I have an analogy.
Ambush.
I have an analogy.
That was an ambush. John Clark, I'm going to text him. This is John, like when you dead made wrong for that.
Remember when you wanted them to apologize to Bryce Harper?
He ain't heard from him since. Yeah.
He's muted you ever since then. I have an analogy for where we're at with this and how Hugh can't handle it, okay? When hearing Cooper saying he was going to miss him.
Well, no, because John Clark led him. Nah. He did lead him.
You know what this whole thing is? It's like the kid in the, like, remember when you were a kid in the neighborhood and someone moved away? AJ's the family whose house they're moving, right?
And the house is, boarding up the house? Are they packing?
They're packing. The paperwork is basically done. They just haven't
moved out the house yet.
What's it called when you finalize a house sign off?
Close.
The house closing hasn't happened, but they've sold their house. They've bought a new one. They've packed everything up. And you're the kid down the street being like, AJ's not leaving. I still see him in the neighborhood. And everyone else is like, well, he's moving.
That was ambush reporting, though.
No, that was not ambush reporting.
It's so ashamed of John Clark.
Cooper's the next door neighbor's like, I'm going to really miss him. And he was like down the street like, he's not going anywhere. You sure? You sure he's leaving?
Wait a minute, John, because I want to personally attack John.
Allow me to personally attack him.
I want to personally attack John Clark now. John, I'm ashamed of you. You've been in this business a long time. And for you to set that young man up like that after he's coming off Kentucky Derby, hanging with a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, nonetheless. And I don't even know when he did the video. But anyway. That was unprofessional, John. It was unprofessional. I'm ashamed of you. Shame. Shame on you for that ambush reporting.
Are you done now?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. There was no ambush reporting. Please stop. Okay. Last thing, and this is kind of interesting because, you know, everyone but Hugh is known for a while. AJ's obviously out of here. But now the question is, what is going to be the compensation, right? When they finally do this and it's finally done, will Howie get his first-round pick back? And if he does, will it be a first-round pick, but kind of a little asterisk next to it? So Jeff McClain, latest Uncovering the Birds podcast. I'm reading from the transcript right now. Here is what Jeff McClain said on his podcast. Quote, it's at this point, it's just a foregone conclusion from what I understand. Likely them and the Eagles and the Patriots. I guess the only question is what's the compensation? I think from what we've heard, from what I've heard, this is like a future first-rounder, but there could be something coming in return that would offset it. So it's not as much for the Patriots to give up. Now, Hugh, I am recklessly speculating, but mm-hmm. that sounds to me and reads to me like
somebody else.
Well, or the Eagles receive a 2027 or 28 first-round pick, mm-hmm. but they throw back a pick with AJ to offset it.
So like a AJ and a third-round pick or
for
something
the
like
first.
That?
Yeah, that and now. That's just the way I'm reading this. I could be wrong, but that's the way that seems to read to me. That Howie's going to get his one. But he may have to give something with AJ to get the Patriots to give the one.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like Howie set the precedent. He wants the one.
Yep.
Now they're just trying to figure out how to get Howie what he wants to save face in this whole situation. Because it feels like from the initial report when all this started that the Patriots felt like a one was too lofty for a 28-year-old receiver that has some knee issues. But Howie's like, listen, you're stuck. Like they're in a pickle. And Howie has them over a barrel, so to speak. They don't want to give up their one, so they're trying to figure out a way that Howie can get what he wants, and it doesn't hurt the Patriots as much as as a one would. So they're trying to they're like kick the can down the line a little bit.
So let's just workshop this for a second. If let's say the Eagles return, let's say the trade is this: AJ Brown and a third round pick for the Patriots 2028 one.
You think it's going to be that soon, though? Well, no, that's 2028. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
So,
sorry. Yeah,
AJ,
not I was thinking 27. Isn't that the latest they could possibly?
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, my fault because okay. I was thinking
that soon.
I was a year ahead. I warp speeded this thing.
AJ,
you're in 2027 already.
Yeah, I was. God, that's why I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Slow down there, bud.
Yeah, slow down.
Is this good, a good enough trade? Are you good with it? AJ and a third for a 2028 one.
Well, it's not.
It's not a full one, right? Yeah. Because we're giving them a three. Like, yeah. Value-wise, it's cut down.
It's for the sake of what this was supposed to be, before it got to this point, that's copium. But it gets what everybody's wanted from the beginning. Like, AJ wants out. He wants in New England. If that happens, it gets everybody what they want, and we get to move on. If that's what it is,
I'm okay with it. I mean, I have been skeptical they were going to get a one, so it's not shocking to me that they may have to throw something back to get the one they want. Right, that kind of cuts down the value. Also, Hugh, it's a lot of the way this is being reported now is this could be pushed into the future. I mean, next year's draft is the one that people think is a great draft. So if it's pushed to 2028, I don't know what that draft will be yet. That's a couple of years out. That's a couple of years for these college football players to be what they're going to be. That could be a great draft. It could be not a great draft. I mean, I'm not surprised we're here. This is all going to happen within the next 4 weeks or so. But that's interesting that it feels like now we may have to give something to get the one we want back for A.J. Brown. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Aaron, who's in San Diego. Aaron?
Good afternoon, Philadelphia.
What's going on, Aaron?
Aaron, how we doing?
So after some careful analysis of the mechanics of the Hugh Douglas swing, I have some thoughts, if you guys have a moment.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's that. Of course we do.
We always have moments
You know, I think the first thing that jumps off the screen when you're watching this video, I think it could be best described as top heavy. I mean, you have this man who's got this big barrel of a chest, these broad shoulders, these 24-inch pythons. And then as you move down, Hugh, I think you could have used some help from a stylist, because I think sweatpants would be a better choice than shorts, because, you know, watching you with that stance, it kind of took me back to my you know, gym days, when you see that guy that's got the big upper body and he wears sweats all the time, that one day that he wears shorts, he's got those Kyle Quinn legs. I mean, you were standing straight up and down. You know, your stance was not, you know, far enough apart. And, you know, this is not a baseball swing. You know, softball is a completely different swing where there's patience involved. And I understand, I'm just like you, Hugh, us old guys. You know, we get in that box, and as soon as that ball leaves.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
He's the Sky Marshal's hands. You know, we flash back to 30 years ago when we were in our 20s and we could run through a brick wall and everything was going to be okay. And you could just see it as it left, the ball left the Sky Marshal's hands. You had the death grip on the bat, the shoulders just clenched and strained, you know. And then, you know, instead of like walking up to it or taking a big step, you take this little itty bitty step, you open your hips up, you swing, you almost look like, you know, a cartoon character. I expected you to like drill down into the ground, you know, but you know, there's help for you. We can work on that swing, but you got to be patient with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you should have, you know, and I know you've taken some pointers from Harper, but you are not, you know, a teenage kid. You know, you are a 54-year-old man that is closer to the upper room where you have to have a reality check and understand what your limitations are.
And there's a lot of them, yeah.
No, I mean, I hear you. You know what, Aaron? And I'm not mad at that analysis. I mean, because that was probably pretty spot on. And, you know, we've had our tay-to-tays before, but I respect that. I respect that opinion. And you were probably right as far as my stance and my step and everything. Yeah, I took that to the lab last night, and that's why I feel confident if I get my mechanics right, I could be in the major leagues by next year.
No shot.
Okay.
No, Savannah Bananas. No shot. I mean, you got a shot at the 15 and older. You got the shot at the 50 and older, you know, geriatrics slow pitch softball league, but I don't know about baseball, dude. I think that might have passed you over. But if I might have a moment, I wanted to touch base with Kyle Quinn, who called me a dope yesterday.
Well, you are dope.
You know,
would you like me to call you one again?
Let me tell you something. You're sitting there, you know, talking about, these little
take your time
winning in a first round playoff game against the Boston Celtics. You know, you're looking for these moral victories.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't
they
expect
won, no,
anything
Aaron,
less.
No, Aaron, they won that series.
That
hey, Aaron, they won that. They won that series.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
It well, doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it absolutely
moral,
matters.
Moral victories.
Uh-huh.
I want hardware, and this team with the payroll that they have, we've been in the process for 10 freaking years, okay? And it's about time that we get something out of it, some kind of piece of hardware.
Well, sure, but did you want people not to celebrate the Celtics thing? They came back from 3-1 on the Celtics. That's one of the biggest upsets we've had here in 30 years.
Still a dope.
And 2 days later, they get blown out by the Knicks. What does it matter?
Well, but that's,
what have we accomplished?
Well, that's how the playoffs work.
I mean,
it's a new
years
series.
From now, are we going to be talking about, oh, my gosh, do you remember the first round when we beat the Celtics? No,
yes.
We're going to be talking about
well,
that.
Sure, with this team, probably. It might be the peak of this. If we're being honest, it might be the peak.
Here's my rebuttal. Aaron, have you ever heard of the term punchable face?
Hey, punchable face.
Shut it for a second. You ever heard punchable face? You have a punchable voice.
Wait a minute. What is that? What are we doing?
Dude,
you're annoying. And a dope.
You know what? If our piece de resistance is a freaking first round victory over the Boston Celtics, you know, we are a sad organization.
Right, we are.
Hold
on. Where have you been?
Fan and you throw,
oh, my goodness.
All right, enough,
I can't take it.
Okay, so there's two things here.
What we got?
Well, Aaron's larger point is correct. If this is it, and we look back on this era as a first-round victory as the peak, it's sad. I mean, he's not wrong on that. But I wasn't here yesterday. I didn't hear Aaron's call.
That would be me.
I know. From what I can understand, Aaron wanted to not celebrate yesterday. Was that what this issue was? Like, yesterday he was annoyed?
Yeah.
No, yesterday's the day to celebrate, right?
Yeah. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you have to accept the small wins before you get the big win. And the Sixers had not done anything like that in a very long time. It's one of the great comebacks in franchise history.
But it's also not a moral victory when they actually got a victory.
No, they won.
Now, so that was pretty moronic, too.
I think you could think something different, but yesterday's not the day to express, like, don't be happy today or yesterday because they have to beat the Knicks. All right, everyone understands that, Aaron. Just relax. The other thing that happened during Aaron's phone call there that Hugh just glossed over is he said you and him are the same.
Not let him ride with that.
I know, but come on. I mean,
no, I mean, because he was trying to give a critique in words of encouragement.
Right, but so we can't let Aaron think he's the same as you, and we can't let you fall to the point where you're the same as Aaron in San Diego. You were an All-Pro.
That would be quite the fall.
Well, when he said it, I honestly thought he was talking about the same as far as age was concerned, because we, you know.
Yeah, no, he was putting you in the athlete category, Sam. Like, we're the same. We got to know our limitations.
No, I don't know mine yet. I mean, I'm gonna exceed those. I'm gonna.
Well,
blow
I think
past
you
this.
Did. You didn't.
I have a pretty good idea of Aaron's limitations. So,
gonna blow past this 55 thing and do something that nobody's ever done before. I'm playing the major leagues or the Savannah Bananas. One of the two. That's my goal. Or maybe a slow pitch league.
Yeah, that I think the last one might be.
or maybe that.
Why don't we
maybe just your couch, buddy?
maybe just hit the ball.
Maybe you're hell diving.
Maybe just hit the couch. I haven't hell dived in a while.
Yeah,
I have not hell dived.
Well, you haven't told us about your buddies.
I hung out with McClain.
Yeah, why? Why do you have to do that?
I'm just saying.
Jordan and Princeton is up. What's up, Jordan?
Oh, Hugh, I think we have the next now here to pitch. I think Hugh Douglas rode to is going to get the views if we can bring that to television, and I'm here for it. So I'm not a television producer or anything, but he's looking to diversify. Let's let him get a piece of TV this idea.
We got to get a new phone.
Yeah, so there's a little bad connection here, Jordan. Let's get Jordan's phone back. I think he has an idea to put this Hugh Douglas story on TV. I mean, I'd watch
documentary.
This.
We got to make a documentary. You know, never mind. I'll keep that to myself. If somebody's...
What are you keeping yourself?
Well, former athlete that played, I think he played for the Buffalo Bills. He's having a documentary. You can look it up for yourself. He's documenting his life as an NFL player, him and his significant other. They're making a story about his life.
Why can't you just tell us about it?
I mean, because if you read stuff, it's like he's making a documentary about his
life. Okay.
You know what I mean? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't. I mean, there is a Jim Kelly documentary.
Mm-mm.
There is the Four Falls of Buffalo when they lost the four straight Super Bowls.
No, I think it's Buffalo. I forgot. I think he played for the Buffalo Bills.
There's also a PBS documentary called Ralph. It's about Ralph Wilson Jr. I can't imagine that's what you're talking about.
No, okay. That's not it.
We'll figure that out. Let's go to Buddy in Akron. What's up, Buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Buddy, what's up?
Hey, I believe in Hugh all the time. You know what? His dream of the major leagues. Can I expand on that, Hugh?
Yeah, what you got?
Know what I'm thinking? You're a genius with this kind of stuff, especially marketing. I'm thinking, you're thinking that you're going to be in one dugout. Maybe you could be in all of them. That big league Hugh, the little pouch of bubble gum in your flavor. I think you got $1 million idea.
See, that's more along Hugh's
is
line.
That right?
Yeah, it's just selling to the players instead of trying to be one at this point.
Well, he could try to still be in one, but why not be in all of them? Because that's major league gum. So I'm loving it. So take this from a guy who strikes out every time he comes on the show. I feel like, man,
oh,
I got
it. Don't say that, buddy. No, you've made more contact than Hugh lately.
I'm in Buddy's head.
Yeah, like, making more
are
contact.
You? What happened to Buddy?
I was a little mean.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're
I'm
good.
Sorry, buddy.
Buddy, you're good. We believe in you, and you will hit this call better than Hugh hit the ball on Saturday.
Which is low bar.
I love when, I love it. Kyle has, he knows, he has the cattle prod me because he's got to spark me up because sometimes I drift off. So,
well, Hugh does the same thing, and so he's used to this.
Yeah.
No worries.
But no, the Sixers, we still got six games left. We saw last series how, they came back fighting hard, so I'm not worried.
Well, they did, and Buddy, they lost twice by 30 points and still won the series. So we've seen this story before. They could clearly bounce back.
Yeah, and now we got to, it's the Flyers, game three at home. Looking for that. That's going to be a good night.
Well, the place is going to be rocking, and I like that they have a couple days in between to kind of rest up and maybe even get Owen Tippett back. Buddy, good phone call. We ended on a good note. Buddy did a good job there. We're trying to pump Buddy up. He did a great job, Hugh.
He did. He did really good. Hey, Buddy, good job, bro.
Way to sell it, Hugh.
Good job. Wow, good job, man. Brother.
I'm fired up.
No, he is. He's good. He did a good job, though.
Buddy did a great job there. All right. 215-592-9494. Now, after you heard the Cooper thing and the Schefter thing, are you ready to stop holding?
No.
Okay.
No. He said, I'm mad at John Clark, and I'm about to send him an angry text, and I'm gonna wag my finger.
What'd you call him again?
Wag my finger.
No, you called him. I forget what you called him. Damn it.
A charlatan?
No, it was.
He did say charlatan.
Said ambush reporter?
Yes, ambush.
Ambush reporter.
Reporter,
yeah.
How do you ambush someone that agrees to go on your podcast?
He's an ambush reporter, man. He set him up. I'm gonna wag my I'm just gonna send him an emoji wagging my finger. Shame and tell him shame.
It's gonna go as well as you trying to get him to apologize to Harper.
He still hasn't responded.
Yeah, I wouldn't respond to you either.
Man, that's all right, John. Shame. Shame on you, John Clark. Shame. Do better. Do better.
I'm ashamed that you are still holding the line.
I'm holding the line, man. Wait a minute. Let me send this text to John.
You do that.
Let me send this text to John.
Radio.
And
no
wag
no
my
worries
finger.
Here. All right.
Let me wag my finger at John
Your
Clark.
Your phone call is on the other side. 215-592-9494. I'm giving the Sixers a full pass for last night. That was a scheduled spot. That was a buzzsaw they walked into. I'm not worried about the series based on last night. I've seen it too many times already in this same postseason. The Flyers, I am losing some hope. That was a game they had to have last night. And the Phillies, a pretty wild just admission by Bryce Harper. They were kind of waiting out the firing at Topper, and now they've got going here. 6 out of 7. Phillies are playing way better. We also have some of the wildest press conference audio I have ever heard. We'll get to that bottom of the hour. And on the other side, a non-Mattingly move that may have helped turn around the Phillies as they've won 6 out of 7. That's all coming up. Your calls. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that. More dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.